May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Third Sunday after Lent, if you notice the readings, the Hebrew scripture where you have people suffering without water and food, and the state of hopelessness, God granted them hope out of a rock, which was very unexpected. Then you have in the gospel reading where the Samaritan woman was like untouchable to Jews, living in a state of gain, a misery, doubt, and all sorts of life. Christ provided her a hope, and she went back to the village with a message of hope. But our good news comes from the gospel reading, where St. Paul reminds us that when we are still sinners, Christ died for us. In the 8 o'clock service, we sang one Afro-American spiritual, Kumbaya, My Lord Kumbaya. I was telling them, when I visited Accra in Ghana, West Africa, they took me to this slave castle. In the slave castle, in the dungeon, people were kept for 6 months. If they survived 6 months in the dungeon, then they were fit to be taken out and to be sold as slaves. And from the dungeon, there was a way to go to the shore, and on the door, it is still written, the sign is still there even today, the door of no return. Now, in that dungeon, they have sang some songs. Songs like Kumbaya, My Lord Kumbaya. Lord, hear our prayer. And in fact, I was staying in a hotel which is called Kumbaya Hotel. Because all the businesses are named after, like, you know, I went to have my hair cut, and the hair cutting salon is called Lord Have Mercy Hair Cutting Salon. or the Virgin Mary Productions. I wonder what Virgin Mary Productions. Then there are other things, the Hallelujah Tourists. I know, the names are so wonderful. They all wanted to be biblical. But then they also had songs like, We Shall Overcome Someday. You know, as kids we used to sing that and say, no, we have to sing We Shall Overcome Today. You know the chorus, We Shall Overcome, We Shall Overcome. Now, after visiting that country, I understand why it is not today, why it is someday, because they don't know when they will be delivered. They don't know where is the hope for them. Therefore, we shall overcome someday. On the contrary, we read about the people of Israelites who were in the bondage in Egypt, and they were delivered from the Egypt on the way to Promised Land. Instead of praising God, they complained. What we read today is actually fourth complaint. If you read all the complaints, it is the fourth complaint where we don't have food to eat. We don't have water to drink. We live in the world of complaints, isn't it? You hear complaints? If there is nothing to complain, at least we can complain about the weather. Whether it is foggy, you know, it's too cold, too hot, whatnot. And as I reflected on that, why is that I grew up not complaining so much, but my children complain a lot. And I thought that's because they have so many choices. The more choices that we have, the more we tend to complain. What complaining indicates to me is that I have a right to have it. On the other hand, the people in the dungeon, they could not even feel that they have a right to freedom. Therefore, instead of complaining, they were praising God or asking God, requesting God, God deliver us one day. I am not against complaining. We get kicked out of complaining. And in fact, if there is somebody who can take all my complaints, that is God. Go ahead and complain to God. If God cannot take complaints, who else can take my complaints? But I also sometimes would like to go to God with requests. God, I am in need. I am right now helpless. Provide me some hope. And Moses went to God with a request from the people. Lord, they don't have water to drink. And God heard Moses' prayer and provided them water from a rock. You know, water from the rock indicates a movement from a hopeless situation to a hopeful situation. And we read about water in our gospel reading. This time in the gospel reading, the water is not from a rock, but from a well, which is 100 feet deep. This woman from this village came to draw water from this well. I am not sure why she had to come all the way out of the village to draw water from the village. Maybe because of her lifestyle or whatever, she was not loved with the rest of the people. I'm not sure. But people who usually walk through, I was told that they carry a bucket with them. Bucket made of a lamb skin. So that when they were thirsty, they draw water from the well. But I also want you to notice that this is only second time. In fact, there were only two times Jesus walked through Samaria. All other times, even Jesus, being a Jew, did not walk through Samaria. To come from Judea to Jerusalem, they always used Sea of Galilee. Because Jews don't want to walk through Samaria. For them, it is an untouchable area. Here he comes to Samaria and he meets a woman. But you see, he was alone with her because disciples went to buy some food from, again, which village? A Samaritan village. He starts the conversation exactly where she was. The water. It's a long passage. Let me highlight you five things that happened. First, Jesus starts a conversation with her, with water. Secondly, in the presence of Jesus, she became aware of herself. Thirdly, Jesus revealed himself. And fourthly, she left the jar at the well. That is something odd, isn't it? She came all the way from the village to fetch water. And she leaves the jar at the well. And she goes back without water. When we encounter God, it is interesting that we are inclined to leave something behind. Disciples left their nets. Moses left the palace. Paul left his position. We are supposed to leave something behind in order to embrace the call that God has for us. And finally, she became a missionary. She went and witnessed for Jesus. And her approach of sharing the good news is very intriguing to me. She didn't simply go and say, I met Messiah. You come and see me. Probably they would have said, oh, we know your lifestyle. We don't want to believe you. Rather, she created a curiosity in them and said, I met somebody, could it be Messiah? And they came to check the message that she brought. Probably some of them wanted to come and prove that she was wrong. But all of them met Jesus and they heard the gospel and they asked him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed 2 more days. You know, just like Jesus, we also need to go out and reach people where they are. One of our former bishops of Canterbury, William Temple, once said, "Church is the only club that exists for its non-members." If you think you are a Christian community, you exist for people who have not yet seen the light of Christ. If we don't do that, we become self-serving community. Not only that, not only we have to go out, but also just like Jesus, we have to begin where the people are, not begin where our theology is. Jesus allowed her to be herself in his presence. It was in that process she was enlightened to embrace the truth. In a way, she received the living water. You know why I know that? She received the living water. That's the reason why she did not need the jar at all. She left the jar because now she has this living water. And she encountered the living God. I bet she ran to the village with this inexpressible joy, uncontainable joy to share with people. She became a disciple of Christ and couldn't wait to tell them where they can find Messiah. You know, one of our missionaries in Sri Lanka, D.T. Niles, who said, sharing gospel is simple. He said, it is like one beggar telling the other beggar where to get food. It is as simple. And St. Augustine, who said, preach the gospel using the words if necessary. No, you don't have to stand up and preach. Our life have to become a gospel to people. Wherever you are working, wherever you are studying, wherever you are placed for the rest of the week, our lives have to become a gospel. Otherwise, we will be, I'm thinking of an analogy and thinking of this. You have rocking chairs in your house, in your lanais, yeah? Our lives will be moving, but we will not be moving anywhere. And we will be then practicing what I would like to call it, rocking chair Christianity. Samaritan woman was a symbol of our own hopelessness, our own troubled lives, our own fallenness, our own suffering world. But when she encountered Jesus, she became hopeful, not only for her, but also for her village. Our good news today comes out of our epistle reading, where St. Paul writes about our sufferings. Our sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And the hope that does not disappoint us, because God poured out his love on the cross. And in the midst of our suffering, it is okay to feel helpless, but not hopeless. As Christians, we suffer joyfully. You know, when I say suffer joyfully, it is easy to say that from the pulpit. You know, when we are suffering, how can you say we suffer joyfully? In a northern part of India, where preaching, sharing of the gospel was forbidden, the 2 young people were sent by the Campus Crusade for Christ. And as they were distributing these tracts, the villagers found them and tied them to the tree. and they were ready to burn them to the death, burn alive. Okay. As they were tied, they started singing songs. And they started, you know, the story is that the people could not see them being sad before death. And one of them said, "Wait a minute, what's up with these people? What's up with these guys? They're not sad, they're singing hymns." And they asked them, We are going to kill you. Aren't you sad?" They said, "No way. We are joyful because we are going to see my risen Lord." They could not kill them. They saw something on their face which they could not understand. Then they left them loose. Of course, the young men were sad after that. You see, as Christians, we are not people of Lent. We are people of resurrection. We observe. That's why Sunday is not included in the 40 days. When you count, we observe Lent to remember in gratefulness that Christ died for me and you while we are still sinners. So take heart, my friends. If you and I are like Israelites complaining, it is okay. We are still in the wilderness as long as we live in this world. We know God delivers us and provides for us. God leads us from the hopelessness to hopefulness. If we are like Samaritan woman at the well, God meets us where we are, breaking all the barriers. It is in His presence we will be enlightened to embrace the truth. As Christians, we feel helpless in the midst of our sufferings. It is okay to feel helpless. But we need not ever feel hopeless, because our hope is in Christ, who died for us on the cross while we are still sinners. May God, who poured out His love for us on the cross, lead us day by day from our sufferings to eternal hope. Amen.